We're continuing in a mini-series from the Old Testament book of Samuel, of all things. This is the third week in our series. And if you recall last week, we read about how the Israelites simply begged the prophet Samuel to appoint for them a king so that they might be like other nations. Everything within him knew that that was a bad idea, and he warned them in great detail of all the unintended consequences that might result. Instead of against his better judgment, however, he kind of ended up going along with their demands. So this morning we're going to read a little bit about their first king, Saul, and notice how his sense of being full of himself might have led him astray a bit. Really, for your best understanding, you should probably read the whole chapter of chapter 15, but for now, I'll just be reading verses 10 through 19. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel arose early in the morning to meet Saul, and Samuel was told, "Well, Saul went to Carmel, where he went to set up a monument to himself. And on returning, he passed on down to Gilgal." When Samuel came to Saul, Saul said to him, "May you be blessed by the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. I will tell you what the Lord has said to me last night." He replied, "Speak." Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" Would you pray with me? Lord, guide our thinkings as we're in unfamiliar territory, stories that we're not accustomed to. Help us as we dig into what might seem like obscure history, and open in our hearts windows that might see relevance to our lives today. We pray in your holy name. Amen. When Saul became king of Israel, Israel was really in serious trouble. It had long been kind of a loose confederation of tribes that fell easily prey to all of their stronger neighbors surrounding them. We're told in the prior chapter that Saul fought against all of his enemies on every side. He fought valiantly, rescuing Israel out of the hands of those who plundered them. And we're also told that it was because of the Spirit of the Lord that he was able to do this. One day, Samuel, the man who anointed Saul to be king, reminded him that the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. It was to say, almost by definition, the definition of being an anointed leader is that you listen to the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter who you lead. It doesn't matter if you're king or an elder or a stay-at-home parent. You cannot be a Spirit-led leader unless you know how to listen to the Spirit's voice. God never gives you a goal and then says, "Well, just let me know when you succeed." So if any of us feel that we're called to any kind of a leadership role, the primary anointing, if you will, begins with a sense of leading from the Spirit. Now, to be honest, there are parts of this 15th chapter that are pretty hard for me to explain. I don't care to go into that. I don't even want to begin to try to defend some of the directives that were supposedly given by the Lord to Saul. Taking the time to try and do so, that would probably distract us from the larger meaning that we should take home with us. So let me instead try to shed a little bit light on the part of the story that we did read this morning. You see, before Saul headed into battle, he was told explicitly not to return with any spoils of war. No slaves, no ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Yet when Samuel confronted Saul upon his return from battle, Samuel asked, "What then is that bleating of sheep I'm hearing from my ears?" It kind of looks like Saul was caught red-handed. It would seem that in some sense Saul was afraid of his own people who wanted the spoils of the war. Ultimately, he confessed, "I have sinned because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." He felt compelled to please them, even though God had said specifically not to take any spoils. When Samuel initially confronts Saul with his failure to obey God, Saul protests, "But I did what the Lord commanded." Yet Saul must have been thinking, "Give me a break. We won the war after all." So Saul rationalizes, and Samuel literally yells his response, saying, "Stop. Just stop it. Does God need sheep? To obey is better than sacrifice." Now, there are a lot of different directions we could take this morning. I mean, I was tempted to kind of riff on this verse that says Saul went to Carmel where he set up a monument to himself. That could be fun. Imagine Saul Tower. Or we could riff on the verse that says, "The word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned his back from following me." Does God have regrets from the history that is set into motion? Well, forgive me, but I'm going to take this in a really, really different direction. You see, for quite some time, some years ago, I used to see a Jungian therapist every week. And a common approach was to have an in-depth analysis of some of my dreams that I had recorded from the previous week. And this can be quite challenging and really exhausting on different levels, not the least of which is the discipline to wake up in the middle of the night every night to be writing down dreams. Sorry about that, dear. So I thought to myself, well, what if I were to go to the therapist and convey this story of 1 Samuel 15 as though it were my dream? Over the course of the session, the therapist might say, "Well, in what way are you Saul? In what way are you Samuel?" So, in what ways am I Saul? You know, in some respects, Saul just happened to be in the right place at the right time, just when the angst of the people was bubbling up and they were demanding a king. Through no skill or planning of his own, Saul just happened to be born in a wealthy family. He just happened to be good looking, and he just happened to be taller than anyone else. Is that what it takes to be a good king, to kind of look the part? I don't know if any of you can identify with the direction of my thinking, but if you are honest, are any of you able to recognize the privileges that you were just born with? Have there been times in your life, like Saul, like me, when you've started to kind of play along and think, there really is something kind of special about me after all? How lucky God was to have chosen me. Come to think of it, I do feel somewhat like a king. Maybe you weren't from a wealthy family. Maybe you were just born with white privilege. In what ways am I like Samuel? In what ways am I earnestly trying to hear God? In what ways do you earnestly want to be used by God to be a blessing for those around you? In what ways do you earnestly want to be used by God to be a blessing to a wider society? Now, when this gets tricky is when you grapple with the possibility that there might be both a Samuel and a Saul residing in you at the same time. There might be a generative, protective king archetype residing in you at the same time that there is a prophetic archetype residing in you. And the real question is, how are these two personas or archetypes relating to each other? How are they getting along? As you are trying to fulfill your destiny, as you're trying to live into the purpose that you were born, are you still open to listening to the Spirit? Are you still open to direction from your inner prophet? There is no question that Saul got his launch on his auspicious path by following the lead of Samuel. And in chapter 10, we read, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "The Lord has anointed you ruler over all of Israel. You shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their enemies all around them." Even so, it almost seems like in this process, Saul is starting to feel more confident, more full of himself. It is almost as though he came to the point of saying to Samuel, "Thanks for the help getting started. I think I can take it from here." Saul did have a successful military expedition that provided increased security for the Israelites, but he also started bending the rules, rationalizing and asserting his own will. Perhaps we do have both a king and a prophet living within us, but that provides no assurance of how things are going to work out. We've come to recognize there are good kings and there are bad kings. Is your inner king listening to your inner prophet? Or have you had such a measure of success in your own life that you are now thinking, "Thanks, I'll take it from here"? Samuel could see where this was heading, and so he said regarding Saul, "For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Well, we didn't read this far this morning. The chapter ends with, Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. I mean, sadly, many people have gotten to a point in their life where they are just no longer able to hear the voice of the prophet within them. They may even live out the remainder of their days not hearing the voice of the prophet who once powerfully shaped their life. They may even find comfort in the habit of attending church. But it has been a long time since they truly heard and responded to the voice of the prophet. How sad. They may even be productive committee members. I have no way of proving this, but I think that many people do get a visit from their inner prophet when they know that their end is near. And when this does happen, there is a near universal sense of, I wish I had listened sooner. How shallow to have built a monument to myself. I can only imagine what might have been if I had remained open to that voice of the prophet. You may be leaving water bottles for migrants in the desert. You may be an esteemed volunteer on a suicide prevention hotline. You may be an interim pastor. But may you never be so full of yourself that you dismiss your inner prophet with the words, thanks, I'll take it from here. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are a people that have been trained to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps, to be quite impressed with our levels of competence. Forgive us for ways in which we have missed opportunities to be in dialogue with that prophetic voice that stirs within that maybe needs to be awakened and rekindled. Bless us, encourage us, and open us up to a fuller possibility of the life that you intend. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing.